Mishpacha, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries Program. This is Dan with my best friend and gifted Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Hello. Sorry, I was writing something down. Thank you, and thank all of you for tuning in. And boy, what a week of fast-paced political drama, and continues to be so, especially with the temporary ban on refugees and the subsequent firing of the Attorney General, who, she was in rebellion, which has caused quite a stir from the left. And tonight, right about now, our president is announcing a very important declaration of his nominee for the Supreme Court. And we'll be addressing that next week. And yes, we do have some reservations about Neil Gorsuch, an apparent favorite. But since we're really not sure, I think we'll just say that for next time. So, honey, let's dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father.
Okay. Jehovah God, we love you and we thank you as we trust you with all our heart and will not look unto our own understanding, but rather acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths and make our way smooth. We pray for our new president, that he fulfills your prophetic will. We lay at your throne our listeners' prayer requests and those who wrote to us this past week. May tonight's program bring truth to our listeners and glory unto you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let us first begin by saying that we had a great Right to Life march last week that was very refreshing, especially after the demonically inspired women's protest the week before.
Yeah, it's like pro-life versus baby killers.
Yeah, sadly. Did you know that over 3,000 unborn babies are aborted every day just in the United States? Yeah. You know, it used to be where the mother's womb was a safe place for the unborn. Now it can be a very dangerous place.
Yeah, I call it feminazi movement.
The feminazi movement?
The feminazi movement.
Oh, that
movement.
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, anyway, I think we are witnessing the suicide of real womanhood.
Yeah, you know, it's so sad.
It really is. But without Jesus, especially in these last and darker days, demonic spirits are in control of most people's minds, or at the very least, highly influenced by the God of this world.
Called humanism.
Mm. And by the way, you do know that Satan demands sacrificial worship, and these aborted babies are all sacrifices to him, the God of humanism. Whether you want to acknowledge that or not, that's exactly what it is. And that's no different than back in the ancient days when they would take the newborns and place them on the altar of Moloch and burned unto him. You know, we all need to bring this fact to the forefront when speaking to anyone on this issue.
Yeah, Moloch is just one of Satan's many names, like Baal, Zeus, and yes, Allah.
That's right. You know what, honey? Could you read from Leviticus 20, verses 1 through 6?
Absolutely. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Again, you shall say to the children of Israel, whoever of the children of Israel or of the aliens who dwell in Israel who gives his seed," which means descendants, "to Molech, he shall surely be executed. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from his people, because he has given of his seed to Molech to defile my sanctuary and profane my holy name. And if the people of the land should in any way hide their eyes from that man when he gives of his seed to Molech, and they do not kill him, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off from his people and all who prostitute themselves with him to commit harlotry with Molech. and also the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and will cut him off from his people.
Okay. This is so important. You know, the people were to stop the idolater. And if they didn't and they would look the other way, God would step in and punish the man and those who ignored it. You know, we as a church should just not stand by and act like it's none of our business. God is watching us to see if we call it out, declare it as blatant sin and idolatry to the false god of this world. And then, in the very next verse, as you heard, our God addresses the mediums that still today are so many are calling on.
Yeah, you see it on TV a lot too, you know, guests galore on daytime shows.
They call it channeling, calling on the dead, which in the Bible is necromancy.
Yes, it is.
In fact, could you read that scripture out of Deuteronomy 18, I think it's 9 through 12?
When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of these nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all those who do these things are an abomination to the Lord.
That's right. It about says it all, doesn't it? Again, these blatant sins, and we must openly call it what it is. Anyway, back to the news. President Trump's executive orders are flying, and you could say Fox News is keeping a pretty good eye on them, so we're not going to take the time to address all those tonight. But do pray for our president, because he has enemies, even within his own Republican Party.
And you well know who they are.
And at least so far, he appears to be driving a stake through the heart of political correctness. So, we as Christians should capitalize on the positive atmosphere of all this. And as we have said, let's label sin for what it is.
And to declare the truth of God's word.
Right. Especially because the acceptance of sin is also within the church, causing the lukewarm Christian to become really good for nothing. You know, many church leaders are not even calling out fornication, let alone sodomy.
Well, I think that society just calls that being gay.
There's nothing gay about it. Just try calling sin by its real name and see if the Holy Spirit of truth doesn't penetrate the heart of the sinner you're talking to. They don't call the Bible the sword of the Spirit for nothing.
It is time for an end to politically correct sin.
You know, the left won't even call a lie a lie, but rather, oh, well, she or he misspoke. And the killing of an unborn baby?
It's murder, not pro-choice.
That's right. The Bible tells us that we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. So why are so many, even Christians, afraid to speak the truth? Why do we want to soften the message and use politically correct words to describe what the Bible calls sin? And my last question, why do we want to turn the salt of the earth into sugar? Please, think on that.
Mm-hmm. And you can comment on this program, request prayer, or send your end time questions by either email to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can call the office, but be sure to leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And to help us stay on the air, your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning, a plethora of knowledge at your fingertips.
Good, good, yes. And by the way, if you don't have internet, you know libraries are great and will personally help you.
And try to join us this Friday at Cheston Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chesterland, Ohio at 7 p.m. for a very timely message.
And be sure to bring your end-time questions.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on to Israel.
Okay. Well, after 8 long years of feuding with Barack Obama, I've been reading some reports that the Prime Minister Netanyahu is being careful not to overload our new president and has actually had to restrain the far right of his coalition. You know, they're kind of anxious to advance immediately on the settlement issues. But Bibi said, you better hold off. And I understand that he was actually cautioned by Trump's officials not to take any unilateral steps before they meet in February. And really, since he's now president, it's not crystal clear yet how Trump will really proceed.
Yeah, and an obvious example is his hedging to move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem.
Right. However, although not yet confirmed, President Trump has nominated David Friedman, who is very far right, as U.S. ambassador to Israel. David is an extremist who emphatically opposes a Palestinian two-state solution and has even openly questioned the Arabs' mental state. And so, Jewish Democrats on the left are speaking out strongly against his confirmation. And many just wonder how Trump's defense secretary,
James Mattis,
that's right, who sadly opposes Israel's settlement policies, will ever agree on anything that Mr. Friedman or our new Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson,
the Exxon billionaire,
yes, who has spent his career in the pro-Arab oil industry. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't see Friedman's confirmation happening.
Probably not, but I would really like it, and probably our listeners do too.
So, we'll be watching that.
Yes, we will. Anyhow, Netanyahu knows, as others do, that President Trump has a choleric personality, so he will be careful to stay on his good side, especially since Israel lives under constant threat and depends highly on the United States for its security.
Yeah, it's too bad they just don't depend more on God.
Shouldn't we all?
Yeah, but you know, he's in a tough spot. He always has been.
Yes, in many ways. Just look at their government. Mm-hmm. You know, it's quite different than what we know here in America. Mm-hmm. Netanyahu has to keep his government from utterly collapsing. And how does he do that? Well, he has to please both sides of the aisle, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you upset some of the members, they can just quit. And unless you can replace them quickly, boom, new elections happen all over again. And this is going to sound peculiar, but Bibi has been able to kind of keep it together by actually using Obama as his tool.
Yeah, you know, that's true. For most Jews fear the U.S. rejecting Israel.
Exactly. So to keep his coalition hotheads in line, he's relied on the threat of White House pressure, which the Obama administration often supplied. You know, like saying to his members, Netanyahu would say, you know, America will renounce us if we don't do as they wish. So that keeps the far right from pushing too hard, while pleasing the left. So, the prospect of a Trump administration now showering Israel with love, as he did during his campaign, is a little worrisome to a few who wonder whether Netanyahu has lost his main tool in order to restrain the right in his coalition. A little complicated, but I can just say that he's probably somewhat nervous, and because if he loses any of his members because he either acted or he didn't act how they want, they could just walk away.
Yes, they could. He could then lose the majority of 61 seats, and his government would collapse.
Yes, but for now, the prime minister seems to have the situation under control.
You know, you must admit it, Israel has been blessed, you know, in spite of Obama hating them and the UN.
I know, right? Like, no indictments of Israelis before the international tribunals, no serious sanctions, and even with BDS, no loss of international trade, credit, airlinks, or travel rights.
Yep. But, you know, he must walk a fine line to stay prime minister.
Yes, but I guess I should tell you I have a little bad news. He's currently the subject of two separate investigations for suspicion of receiving expensive gifts. Yeah. And the other involves an alleged influence trading scheme, talked about but then leaked, but before it could be consummated. But it's where Israel's largest newspaper would have agreed to soften its coverage of Netanyahu's problems if he would cut back the distribution of its main competitor. But its main competitor is owned by the prime minister's very rich top patron, Sheldon Adelson, who, by the way, is also a large Trump donor. Oh, so much stuff going on behind the scenes, and every once in a while, I like to take a program and just kind of let you in on some of this stuff, although I don't want to make it a habit, but it's pretty amazing. But Bibi denies it all and calls it a witch hunt. Investigators reportedly believe that they do have enough to indict, saying Bibi's days in office are indeed numbered. And I'm telling you this because it is well known that prime ministers facing indictment veer leftward in hopes of seducing the supposedly liberal government lawyers. And one wonders if that would influence the upcoming Palestinian peace negotiations. Anyhow, I do see some similarities as well between Bibi and President Trump, like they are both hostile toward the media, that's for sure. Both are the subjects of investigations. Both are carried into office by a coalition of the religious right and a disgruntled working class. Both view Iran and Islamic terrorism as their country's most dangerous enemies. And, by the way, both are being urged by their military and intelligence chiefs not to tear up the Iran nuclear agreement, because doing so, the generals say, would simply put Iran on a fast track to a bomb. And both right now seem intent on ignoring that advice, especially since Iran just yesterday conducted a capable nuclear warhead test. However, we do see a fundamental difference between the two. Netanyahu is a seasoned, highly skilled diplomatic and political operative with a deep understanding of the history and workings of the international system. President Trump, by contrast, just not. And at this point, slightly unpredictable. And yes, I'm sure Netanyahu is relieved that Republicans now hold the White House. But those that understand the complexities know that Bibi, as I said, probably has some concerns. Okay, we have a few minutes left, so I'm going to address some of the questions that came in the end of last week, actually. And one was about Jared Kushner, and I even have one about Governor Chris Christie. But basically, as I said 2 weeks ago, Jared is President Trump's ex-Democrat Jewish son-in-law who will be helping with the peace negotiations between the Palestinians and Israel. Who, and this is sweet, he was sure to acquire special permission from their rabbi to attend the inaugural parade to ride in the limo on a Shabbat. Now that sounds pretty orthodox, so those on the right in Israel should really appreciate him. And another just quick tidbit is that Jared's father was convicted and spent time in jail for fraud. Well, he was actually indicted by New Jersey's district attorney, Chris Christie. So along with Christie's baggage from Bridgegate, you can surmise why he didn't continue in the Trump campaign. He just kind of faded away. But he still remains New Jersey's governor until at least 2018. So that answers the question on whatever happened to Chris Christie. Now, another question was, in your opinion, why didn't Obama pardon Hillary? Oh, that's a good question. Obama has a deep-seated dislike, which increased when the Democrats lost the election because he really didn't want Trump in the White House. Hillary never liked Obama anyway, especially since he stole the election away from her in 2008. But they both had to play the role, and they did it well. So my other question is here, why did Trump change his mind about locking her up? And I have to say, I, as well as many, were amazed when he said, "Oh, the Clintons are very nice people, and I don't want to hurt them anymore." Well, that right there should tell you a lot about the political schemes and backdoor deals in Washington. But Trump knows that the Clintons have huge connections, and obviously he'd rather keep them at his mercy. Actually, a very Trumpian move. And as very distant cousins, as I've told you before, they both have the same ancestors, and it's from royalty. As, by the way, all the presidents are descendants from royalty. Check it out. That's a pretty easy research. And, of course, you never know what she really has on him from his past. You know, she could use the fact that his name was listed on the travelogue for the Lolita Express, which is that plane owned by the convicted sex offender, billionaire Jeffrey Epstein. And, of course, he's no longer in jail due to a great payola deal. But you already know, that's the world these days. And I'm so glad that we can watch from afar, and so can you. No one has to play a role in this world's sin and corruption. So if you're listening out there and you have never made the biblical Jesus Lord over your life, know this. Christ suffered greatly and died on the cross for you. And if you were the only one in the world, he would still have done it. He paid your debt for your sins that have to be paid by someone. He stands at the door, and that's of your heart, and he's knocking. So just open that door. He will come in. He will take up residence within you. I know you hear him. He's knocking right now. But he won't crash in. It's your move. He gives us free choice, so you can be the beneficiary of the most magnificent love story ever told, written in blood on a wooden cross. So it's your move. Just do it. And oh, you can hear the music. Let me give you the Aaronic blessing from number 627, or 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. Till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the new president and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, we're going to prosper in every way. And that, of course, is Psalm 122:6. God bless you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.